All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, it's been a little while since we checked in on my dealer.
Blackjack, eh?
Yeah, yeah. From the Ganja Farmer episode.
That's a street name, Blackjack.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, they call him that because he likes to hit people on the head with sacks full of nickels. when he's not selling illicit substances. Last time we talked to him, he dealt marijuana. However, now that marijuana is legal in Portland, he's had to move on to harder stuff.
Okay.
So we're here just outside his apartment building. Over there is a bag of meat. There's an empty crib. There's a mattress that somebody's fucking on. Like, it's a cool scene.
just one person fucking?
Yep, fucking the mattress.
Okay.
Just spiraling into terror with the sticking his dingle-dangle between the sprinkle-sprangle of the mattress pad. We're gonna go ahead and buzz him.
Okay.
And he's gonna page me. I've got this pager here. So we buzz him, and he pages me. And that's how we're going to determine what game.
But he's just in the next room.
Well, he's up. It's a huge apartment. It's like a high rise.
Oh, okay, cool. It's a loft. Complex.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's a very fancy highfalutin way of saying what this place is. But I feel like we've been doing NES games and stuff, and we need to move on to harder shit.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to bring us to blackjack.
Okay. Wow. Well, I've got to tell you, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm gonna have to talk with him.
No, the first one's free.
Okay.
Okay, so the... here, let me just buzz. Okay, it's B-Jack here on the apartment thing. And okay. Oh, I'm getting a page.
Okay.
Okay, here I say it. Let's see. Y'all want to get dunjacked. What do you suppose that means? Have you ever been dunjacked?
No, I can only assume it's something awful.
Yeah, it does sound like something pretty gross. Hold on. It was cut off there. It just says, do you all want to play Dunjacks?
Not really.
Yeah, no. Fuck.
No, fuck.
No, carry on, sir. You continue to fuck. It's stop you coitus interruptus style. On and on.
Oh. pull out.
keep up with the Chronicles of Osiris or whatever the fuck you're doing.
No.
Onesimus, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Onesimus,
wait,
all over that blanket.
There we go. Yep. Yeah. So I like how I asked, oh man, I'm not gonna have to talk to him now, am I? And you said, no, the first one's free, as though the cost of hard drugs is just talking to somebody who wants to sell hard drugs.
More or less true. Let's say you're gonna fuck a piece of bedding.
Okay.
Like, so why is it somehow seem inherently grosser or more dirty to fuck a slanket than a blanket?
Gary, we've discussed this before when we were talking about slizzards and stuff. The SL phoneme is inherently upsetting, I think.
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, theoretically it feels just as good, you know, but you fucking a slanket. I wouldn't want to tell, you know, my parents about that or anything.
Well, no, but I mean, a slanket is also a garment. Which is pretty, you know, like I would feel pretty bad if I jerked off into somebody's robe.
I would fuck a slardigan. A cardigan with sleeves, like two extras.
Like a slardigan for Goro.
Yeah. He has used a slardigan.
Hey, even Goro. You know what? Even the other realm or nether realm or whatever gets a little bit chilly sometimes.
Babies are always wearing those slants, which are pants with sleeves, i.e. onesos.
Onesos, right.
what's your name, Cole?
My name is Cole.
I am Gary Butterfield. This is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy. So Dunjax, this was recommended by Sam Bear as part of the Bear Storm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Still, we're still reeling from Bear Storm 2015. He says, I saw a game called Dunjax on archive.org, assumed it would be garbage, and was right.
Yeah, it's real bad. It's real early.
So
this is real old, and it's like one dude.
Gary, no, it's not. It's like this was like 1990. Like
well, that's pretty old for like a DOS platformer.
Yeah, really? 1990?
Like, by like one dude, or like one dude with a, like he had a team for the remake.
I suppose.
Just imagine this guy like just making it by himself.
I guess like 1990 was around the time the Commander Keen was happening. That was fucking id.
Yeah, and that was like a team of you know, weird geniuses.
Yeah.
Now, this is just Jeff Mather.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just one guy, but it's and then the other thing I wanted to ask is, did you so you played the version on archive.org? Right.
Yes. Like the crazy
tile mess.
Yep. Which is either unplayable at modern CPU speeds, and you put it into an emulator and crank that way back, and then all of a sudden becomes a turn-based
turn-based side-scrolling shooting game.
Yep.
Did you play? He brought it out of retirement.
Did you
play the remake on Kongregate?
Yes, I didn't play it on Kongregate. I played it on Dunjax.com.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And, yeah, I saw that later when I was doing my Dunjax research.
Yeah.
You can play a version of Dunjax with worse music like anytime you want. And keep in mind, the original version doesn't have music.
Yep.
So it's somehow worse.
Like, yeah. It really does sound like a Disturbed song, like dun dun dun
dun. Yeah, or like the Beautiful People is what you're doing. From Marilyn.
There we go. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, it is exactly that riff. It's like a drop D, like crunch kind of thing.
And it just does this.
It's exactly the Beautiful People.
Yeah,
no, I'm sorry. The Beautiful People.
Remember. Black sheep.
Oh man, no. So I played that. Should we explain the concept for Dunjax, Gary?
Can anyone explain a Dunjax? Like, yes, we should.
Well, how, so you remember
like, when we're summer's Dunjax
to a summer's. Like Gary, you remember back in the Quest 64 Dunjax where we explained that the premise of that Dunjax, and we said that it was like the oatmeal version of Dunjaxes.
Yeah,
just like just this, like this is JRP. It's RPG the RPG, right? This is the blank human upon which features are etched. This might as well be video game the video game.
Yeah,
as unremarkable as it is.
It's a lot of assets. Like it is a lot. It's weird when you play the remake, you kind of get this sense of it being a little Blaster Master like, because like you're playing a tank and you can hover kind of, and you can shoot in two directions. And it was like, oh, this is kind of like Blaster Master, except that the enemies are just like gargoyles that come at you all the time from every direction.
I didn't read the player sprite as a tank though.
Here, let me find out real quick.
It looks super awkward. Am I going to have to hear that song again?
There you go. I was trying to get it to pop up again. That's definitely a tank of some kind.
Okay.
Like, if not like a motorbike or something like that, like it's wheels.
Yeah.
It's like wheels what walk.
Oh, walking wheels.
Yeah. Well, walking wheel Dunjax.
you don't want him to roll into town.
No, that's how you know you get jacked.
Yeah.
The,
no, that's a walk. Oh, walk on wheel Dunjax rides a car. What can climb stairs?
Except it can't.
It just slides down it. Every single staircase in this game is like
it's just a ramp. It's the most wheelchair accessible game we've ever played.
It's a crazy, wacky haunted house ramp.
Yeah. And it's how far did you get into Dunjax?
Oh boy. Like second screen.
You can get like pretty far in Dunjax. Like I didn't get past the first level, but I got pretty deep into the bowels of the Dunjax and like, it's really cruel. Like there's some real cruel game design things. Did you ever run into a tornado?
Yes, I did. In the first screen of the Dunjax.
Well, in the original Dunjax.
Yeah.
In the remake of Dunjax, the tornado is like a later mini boss.
Okay. Well, what's the tornado do to Dunjax?
It hurts him a lot.
Huh.
Like, and he's placed in this like really sadistic pit with sloped sides that you can't get out of unless you like hover perfectly.
Okay.
And that's where I died twice in the remake of and like Dunjax remastered.
Mm.
Like
the Dunjaxoning? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Escape from Dunjax Bay.
Yeah. When you said Dunjax that one time, it sounded like you were about to say dungeon, which makes me wonder if that's part of the etymology for this.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. I think it's 100% the etymology.
Okay,
you
cool.
You don't think that's the idea?
No, it just occurred to me when you said that. I figured that Dunjax just sounded like a cool futuristic name for a thing, which it does.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. And it does done. And like D-U-N is a really unflattering set of letters.
Okay, here we go. Dun versus slu.
Yeah, well, slu is gross. Dun sounds unintelligent. There was a guy who I went to high school with whose last name was Dungan.
Oh, God, that's like painfully close to being a Star Wars race.
Yeah. Yeah, Dungan. Like, dum-dum.
Yeah. Oh, what's your name? Just baseline to give it away.
Yeah, it just sounds like a heartbeat. Like, dum, 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 dum. Like a Telltale Dungan.
Like, dum, hello.
Dum. I'm in the floor.
Down here, guys.
Down here, guys. Put me in your chest.
Is the Oh man. So this game does do something kind of cool that I haven't seen in very many platformers, which is line of sight.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It has fog of war. Yeah. Like the same way that's done by tiles like the old Ultima games.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a side scrolling game with the Ultima fog of war. It's like really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was cool too, but I don't think it added that much.
Oh no.
It seemed like it was probably just like a lot of extra time, and it was probably really impressive at the time it came out.
Mm-hmm.
but
I don't know, like the difference in theming between the original version and the new one kind of threw me off, because in the original you're like a dude, right, and you're shooting arrows.
And then in
the new one it's straight up Future Wars.
Yeah, you're a battle tank in the like After the Thieves chapter one, where you like land on a planet and thieves steal your warp core.
Again, it's just video game. The video game,
yeah, it is, and you have to get it back. Mm-hmm. Crash land in a muddy mountain basin. So, yeah,
hoping you can find the missing part. Hopefully, in an undigested state, according to Moby Games.
In your weapons, you have the Needler gun or the Needler rifle,
mm-hmm.
and then you have an energy halberd.
Yeah, that's sweet. I like a halberd.
Yeah, I like a halberd too. Like. Yeah. I should like to own one day.
Oh, no, what you have to do, you just have to rig up some kind of mechanical arm with like an Arduino or something. That way, when you want to bar off a door, it puts the halberd across it.
So I can die by Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
Like death by Raspberry Pi.
It's delicious and educational.
Yep. It's delicious and surprisingly affordable.
It's delicious, and well, these days you can emulate the NES on anything, so why are you bothering?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jeff Mather a little bit.
Yeah, so it sounds like you found some stuff. I found some things that I can't confirm that it's the actual Jeff Mather, that it's the same guy. So hit me with what you got.
So I got a couple of things. I was hoping to find like Cricky and Gold.
Oh,
you know, but didn't. One is the document that came with the original game.
Okay.
In 1990, which is really quaint. Like it's really, really cute. He suggests anyone, you know, you copy Dunjax for anyone you think that might like Dunjax. But you know, if you send him $10, you can get these, or $10 a piece, you can get these other games that they made, which are called, Ranadin, Archer, Falsity / Soldier, and Requiem. So those are the other games you can get, and they just have really generic descriptions.
Right.
But the end of it, it promises Dunjax 2 in October of 1990.
Okay.
Which is sad because that didn't happen. And then the first registered user of Dunjax to send us a photograph of the game screen where the starship part is located will receive a free copy of all the five games that we offer for sale.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and all other registered eaters who do the same thing will receive a free game of their choice.
Huh.
Like, just if you beat the game, they give you a free game. It's really cute. And Thana says, good luck in your adventures, Explorer. Like, it's really charming. Like, I really thought we'd find, like, a good ally in the war, you know, the wars to come in this guy, because it seems really sweet.
How many of those S's and R's were written backwards?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this like a photocopied document, or is this a Polaroid of some kid's lemonade stand?
It's a dot doc.
Okay.
So, yeah. The other thing I found, though, that's really great is from this website called PCUninstallTool.com, where he wrote an article on how to get Dunjax off your computer, which made me really glad I didn't install Dunjax, because it sounded like it's longer than the document that came with the game. Like, how to uninstall or remove Dunjax completely off your PC by Jeff Mather.
I have to undo Dunjax, what I've done. What have I done?
Just dousing himself in gasoline. Don your battle armor and explore the caves of a distant planet. Find your stolen ship parts and return home. Exclamation point. Line break. Question mark. Line break. Follow the steps below to end Dunjax from running. And it just tells you how to control it, delete. But then it just keeps going. If, like, you just keep trying to get Dunjax off your thing, check this out. Tip. Download the Dunjax removal tool.
Well, you see, that's where they get you. You get the trial for free. You send him the $10, and then he sends you this, which in turn points to the $99.99. That's three payments, Gary, to get the uninstaller tool.
To get the Dunjax removal. Can you imagine a more specific piece of software? I'm just gonna buy the Dunjax removal tool to remove Dunjax from my computer.
Oh, yes. What's the Dunjax removal tool do?
Yeah,
it's baffling. The world will never know. The archaeologists will, like, the data miners will uncover this. Like,
who was Dunjax?
Yes. He must have been their god.
Yeah, like, he somehow was impeached.
The digital cyber god Dunjax.
In his
space mountain.
Yeah. I must find the part with all of you.
Bring me the head of the one called Mather.
Bring me the thieves. But I couldn't find anything. I was trying to find the real Jeff Mather, because I was going to introduce a new segment where I show you a Google image search of people named Jeff Mather and you had to guess which one created Dunjax. And then every week it would be the same thing with different Google image searches, but the answer would be a trick question because none of those people created Dunjax.
Right.
But, like, I like the idea of looking at somebody and being like, that guy created Dunjax.
Yeah. Like, oh, that guy Dunjax.
Yeah, that guy Dunjaxed.
Yeah. So I did the name search. I also did the name search for Neil Sien or whatever it is.
Yeah, his weird partner.
Yeah.
the man behind the man.
He's a little bit more of a ghost. I think they maybe like he probably got sucked into the computer Tron style trying to develop the removal tool.
He comes with every, you had to get the Joe Sinergi removal tool or whatever. Like, leave my house.
I'm sorry, we're out of Cheez-Its, okay? Man. Yeah, I was worried that this meatloaf was going to be mostly sawdust.
Yeah, I mean, I'm out of stuff. So that was all the ketchup I brought to the meatloaf, like, so to speak.
Yep.
That old expression. That's like, I'm literally out of things to say about Dunjax.
So. Well, this just, like, this whole DIY style just reminds me of did you ever play with the official Hamster Republic RPG creation engine?
No.
Okay.
I know those words mean separately, but they don't make any sense together. Like,
so
no.
This is, so I need to figure out how to say this, because the guy who made it doesn't listen, but one of our listeners is a friend with the guy who made it. It was like, actually, think RPG Maker from, like, right around the time right before RPG Maker was a thing.
Okay.
Okay, and it was a DOS-based utility for making tile-based JRPG kind of things, like turn-based RPGs. And boy, I fell down a hole making stuff like that. Like, with my cousin, like, it had a bunch of, like, paint programs and stuff with it, and also a sequencer for doing, like, MIDI compositions and things like that. It was, like, ridiculously well-featured.
Well, I don't know. Why were you like walking on eggshells? Like, it doesn't sound like something we'd make fun of or anything.
No. I just, whenever I bring up anything that a particular person created on here, I worry that it will be interpreted that I'm about to make fun of it. But actually, and also because I know that there is a connection. Because I told that listener who mentioned the connection to be like, oh my gosh, tell that guy that I love the thing he made.
You've been nothing but positive. Like, it's makes sense.
Yeah, but just like that was a burgeoning community before there was really a glut of kind of like RPG Maker kind of games of people passing these things around, and their own little creations and like giving tips and stuff like that. And there's no record of anything I ever did on that, or my cousin or anything. I think maybe some compositions he made are still in there,
but I'm sorry about your cousin.
Yeah, I know, right? But nothing left of them. But yeah, that was such a weird like moment in time where it was the first time like outside of a game specific level creator that I really felt like I was like, oh, I'm making something. And they were terrible ideas that I had because I was 12. But
yeah, well, no, I mean, RPG Maker has been responsible for a lot of things that are laughable, but it in and of itself is great. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's super cool. I played around with the one for PlayStation.
Oh yeah,
that came out. I remember like convincing my girlfriend's parents at the time to like take me to like Kmart and shit on the off chance that they would have it, because I couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh wow.
But I love that thing. And it's like, you know, game making tools that are intuitive and easy, I'm like way in favor of, especially now that I've like proven myself time and time again that I can't code. So like if there's like a graphical interface for making games, you know.
Yeah, if you can drag and or drop something to make a game called drag and drop.
Drag and drop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the drag and drop interface of, you know.
It just keeps going. It's just drag and drops till you hit Dunjacks.
Yeah, it's like I understand the logic behind all of that stuff. Like, oh, it's just like if then statements, and you create conditions and you check whether they're true, and like,
yeah,
you know, different. Like, I get all of that, but just like
when the individual pieces meet up and like it doesn't explain why everything exploded. Yeah, it's frustrating.
But no, it's not even that. It's just the syntax.
Yeah,
like just the fact that like you know every single like of these languages has their own little, you know, specific syntaxes that you have to kind of memorize is what bums me out about it. Like, you know, when it comes to game making stuff, like it's, you know, I ended up like for my game, I ended up needing to get help with that stuff. And then like when I would make games in Game Maker, like I ended up just copying a lot of code. Like I'd find something that did what I wanted to do and just copied it, because I don't see why not. And also like, I just don't want to like learn a language to do this.
Right.
Like it's weird. It's like design versus coding. Mm-hmm. Like they're entwined, but it's not, they don't have to be.
Right.
And that's why I'm way into like RPG Maker and stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. Super great.
Definitely.
Your hamster boys sound great too.
Yeah. Well, so, it's open source. I'm kind of curious to go back and look at it, but it's probably changed so much that I'd be like better suited. Like if I was interested in doing anything with it, I'd be better suited like looking at like a more relevant game creation thing, you know?
Oh yeah. Like they keep doing those Humble Bundles, are like game creator Humble Bundles. Like I have something like $4,000 worth of game creation software on my computer.
Yep. I was gonna say like $15. Yoink.
Yeah. Who knows if I'll ever use it, but it's cool to have.
Just in case you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know, like coding, like it, at least like HTML, CSS, like coding that is specifically meant to be like design work, soothes me. Like I dropped out of engineering because I hated like object oriented stuff in you know C++ and whatever. But like when I went to my fuck off degree, I doing any kind of coding for like web design or for Flash or stuff, that like kind of clicked and made sense. Too bad that has absolutely no bearing on anything want to do. So.
Well, yeah, that's not really like super in demand now. Like we've kind of invented our way out of a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can just kind of get through it, or get around it. Mm-hmm. But it's fine. I like that stuff more. I just want to learn. Like I'd be fine learning one language. Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess like that's the hard part. And you can do that, but there's just like, oh, this is the best language to do this in. This is the best language to do this in. Like that's just hard for me.
Yeah.
And I recognize it's just, you know, it's my own way of learning. It's not a fault with the thing. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just write. Like, if I'm going to write something, like, I'd rather just, like, click a button and make it do the thing.
Well, something like Game Maker or RPG Maker are really attractive because it's, like, prototyping, right?
Yeah. You can actively, like, quickly prototype, which is super cool.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about, like, oh, if something's jumping, like, it's actually changing its X and Y axis at this rate and at this, like, you know, this degree. Like, it makes you think about what that actually means.
Yeah.
In terms of, which is cool.
Yeah, I remember learning math principles by trying to code stuff, like code games for the TI-83 calculator. It's kind of like, okay, I want to do something with that involves a jump. Well, here you go. This is the fucking parabolic equation that you need. I know that's not the right word, but like fine tune it, like add and subtract and do all this different stuff to get it to do what you need to. Like, I'm super into anything that teaches you something bigger by like just having you fuck around with one small thing and seeing what else changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the weird thing. Like when you watch Mario, like Mario jump and you're like, oh, that's a math equation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that actual arc is, there's an equation behind that, which is the weird, you know, is a weird revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons, like, I have talked to Sugar about it before, but one of the things I love about, Mario Maker is that like rapid iteration and being able to change those little things on the fly. It's not exactly the same because it's so gamified, but like, that game is really cool. Like that's I don't spend enough time with it. Like I put it down when I had the fall autumn of homelessness, but like I want to get back into it because that's super cool.
Yeah.
Like just that like super rapid prototyping of things is just really, really great.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It's fun to make things, but it's also fun to tear them down.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just super early. I loaded it up, and the second that I saw, oh fuck, I'm going to have to mess with the CPU speed, I was like, yes, this is exactly the era that we're dealing with. So like, just that single moment told me everything I needed to know about Dunjax.
It was the kind of thing where I had a moment where I thought like, oh, if this had been on like one of my first computers, I would have played it a bunch.
Oh yeah.
Like I would have probably got pretty far into Dunjax, against my better judgment.
Because it was there, you know.
Dun judgment.
Why did man beat Dunjax? Because it was there, you know.
Exactly. It's the monolith. Yeah, like Dunjax just comes from the sky above. Oh boy.
I think that might be about it. I don't know that I have anything else.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about Dunjax. How have you been?
I've been all right, here we go. It's one of these. I've been doing okay. Like honestly, we're coming off of this this crazy busy month that we've had. Like we had an awful lot of activity packed into a single 30-day period, and then that was immediately followed by a holiday and also getting back to like fucking work and just making nothing but Monday cars, you know? And like, I just kind of feel like I don't have my feet underneath me right now.
What does making nothing but Monday cars mean?
Monday car, that's an expression that has to do with like, the auto workers when they come back to work from the weekend, they tend to be drunk. And the first couple cars that they make are, they tend to be lemons. It's like it's been nothing but like returning from a previous thing for me and changing gears. And those first couple of things that I do after I've like been on vacation or gone and done something like a network thing, whether it's for work or even just coming back and doing stuff for the network, it just feels like, ugh, man, I'm into this. I like it, but I don't feel like I'm doing a good job.
Yeah. You're messing up a lot.
Yeah.
Where did you pick up that Monday car expression?
It's a German expression, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so during your time in Germany.
Yeah. No, just like, when I was over in Munich, just kind of bumming around. No, it's an expression. I picked it up wherever you pick stuff up, you know?
Which is weird. It's just, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you. I'm not, like, I've just never heard that before. Yeah. It has been really insane.
Yep.
And it's I don't know if this is the same thing for you, but like when I have to put aside things for that long, I have this continuous like, you're not doing something like .exe running in the back of your brain the entire time.
Oh.
So there's like this low level of guilt when I'm busy with things that are all consuming.
Gary, you're describing the way that I feel when I wake up in the morning, make coffee, and watch my bird feeder for 5 minutes. Like, it should be the most, it should be the most peaceful, you know, time of my day where I'm just collecting everything. And the voice in the back of my head says, you're going to die. And also, you're disappointing a bunch of people.
Well, you know, the voice is just telling you to waste less fucking time on birds. Time and food. There are people starving who would love that bird seed, bro. That suet is calorie rich.
I can't put suet out anymore. Say,
little suet will do it when it comes to homeless people.
Yeah, no, you just walk around and give them a dollar. Toast and you put some suet onto a pine cone. Yeah, just say, and give it to Daryl.
Look this, brother. And I hope things get better.
I'm pulling for you, man.
Yeah. Don't eat most of it.
Save some for later.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it is it's serious business, and you're throwing away on birds.
Save some for later or for a friend. I hear Terry has the croup.
Yeah. Okay, he's got gout. He needs to eat a higher grade of suet.
Yeah. No, I can't put suet out anymore because the squirrels get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's harder to squirrel proof a suet dispenser than it is to get like a squirrel resistant bird feeder, you know?
That old saying.
Yep, it's the Monday squirrel feeder.
Yep. It's harder to squirrel proof a suet feeder than to bird proof a squirrel feeder.
Yeah, I learned that real quick after I had to sweep off a bunch of squirrel droppings off my deck.
Oh, that gross.
Yep, pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nasty. You know, whenever there's an animal that's like pooping in your area, mm-hmm. and then like, and you see it every day, right? So like, if you're like, I used to walk by this pond on my way to work when I lived in DeKalb, mm-hmm. and there are all these geese.
Yeah,
so
geese
I every day I was exposed to geese shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like literally, I didn't go a day without seeing geese shit. And then like, you had this weird sense because like every once in a while you'd see something particularly foul and you'd be like, oh, one of these geese is sick. And you'd walk by for like 5 or 6 days. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, that geese is sick. And then the geese would get better. And you'd be like, oh, that geese got better. It's just like a weird thing to know and notice.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh, I'm glad that guy's doing better now. Just because you're walking by is leaving, like, literally every day. You just get this sense of, like, the digestive health of the animal kingdom around you.
But I mean, isn't that just a combination of two admirable traits, observation and compassion?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just weird.
No,
strange thing to be kind of become ambiently aware of without mm-hmm. seeking out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh man, I put out the suet, and instead of getting more birds, like I got a couple of birds, but then I just saw a bunch of fat squirrels and a bunch of really like I noticed this too because I was trying to brush some of the turds off. It was on the, they were on the railing, and like they started getting softer and softer.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, like, that's no good. No,
yeah, like this guy's not. He doesn't need this suet.
Yeah, no, he needs to
smaller squirrels. I don't know.
He needs some more fibers. What do you need? Like, Gary, this squirrel needs more fiber.
He needs more pine cone, not less.
No, so I took down the suet and I put up the squirrels destroyed my old bird feeder, Gary. So I had to, I got a new one that is resistant.
It's weird. Bird feeding is a real weird responsibility. Like, you take up. I think so. Like you start doing it and then you have to start worrying about other animals getting into it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this kind of thing where like you do it every day because it's not purely for you. It's like you want the birds to be there and like start worrying about them.
It's good. It's getting cold, Gary. They're migrating.
It's like 1/10 of a pet, you know, it's like caring for another creature in the least you can possibly do.
Oh yeah.
You know,
which is like, about the level of commitment that I'm ready for.
Yeah. Some birds.
Some birds. Yep. No, I will wake up in the morning. I'll be in my robe. I'll be drinking my coffee. I'll look out. I'll make sure that there's no squirrel shit out there. I will observe a couple of sparrows or titmice or whatnot. And then mm-hmm. I will drink my coffee. I'll think about how I'm disappointing people, how I have a lot of unanswered emails, and then I'm going to get dressed and go to work and disappoint more people.
Yeah. Answer some emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anywho, with that session of Just Fun, and I think it was about time we wrapped the book on Dunjax. Wrap the book.
Just
Dunjaxon. Thank you, Sam Bear.
Yeah, thank you.
For suggesting archive.org is a good place to get things because one, they tend to be just made by one weirdo. Mm-hmm. So you can look up stuff about the weirdo. And then two, you don't have to download anything. You just emulate it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like that.
But definitely. No, so like archive.org is intended to keep stuff forever, right? It's where you put mm-hmm. things for perpetuity. But unless they put the Dunjax removal tool on there, it will outlast everything.
Yeah, Dunjax will never die. It's Skynet.
Dunjax like, lives on.
Yeah. That's like Skynet's dumb cousin. Like,
I just wanted to make the human sandwiches.
No, Dunjax.
Get away from the button, Dunjax.
I just want to see if they'll help me find my ship part.
Oh. Enslaving them, you idiot.
Oh, Gary, next time we are playing a game for the PlayStation called LSD Dream Emulator.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I don't know anything about it.
It is crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be another excuse for one of our popular, if we're not talking about religion or sports, we're talking about drugs and everybody loves it. So, but what, are we not supposed to talk about drugs during the LSD emulator episode? Give me a fucking break. Anyway, if you like the show, you can support it by going on Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Donating just $6 a month gives you an extra episode of the show per month. Mm-hmm. And if you donate $2 a month, you get access to our Slack channel, which is a fun chat room for fun people, especially if you like talking about Dark Souls.
Yeah.
It's made its way into every channel.
It tends to overflow the bounds of the Bonfireside chat channel, which is fine.
Even if you don't like Dark Souls, there's still stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah, definitely. If you can't make the commitment for the $6 a month to get the premium episodes of Abject Suffering, we just put up the third of the premium episodes about Skeleton Warriors on the store. That is duckfeed.tv/store, where you can pick those up afterwards. We also have one up there about The Last Action Hero and then Daikatana mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, and the next one that's coming out, we can announce what's happening next, even if it's mm-hmm. not out, right? Yeah, the next one that's coming out is, yes, you just have a sharp intake of breath.
Oh, yes, we can. The next one that'll be hitting the store, but it's available now if you want to become a backer.
Yeah, exactly, which is Night Trap.
Yeah.
Which is a fun episode, because that's an infamously bad mm-hmm. game, and not actually that bad, but interesting.
Yeah. So.
And then ratings, reviews on iTunes, follow us on social media, all mm-hmm. those things are really appreciated.
Yeah, please tell your friends, maybe not so much about this show in particular, but if you're here and you like the other stuff that we do, and you know if they like Dark Souls or old games or whatever, get them into the network, and then kind of usher them over to this. This is the After Dark.
Yes. Yeah. But they will like this as well.
Yeah.
Or stop being friends with them.
You know, yeah. It doesn't seem like a lot to ask.
Yeah, to change your friendship structure. So until next time, what should they do, Cole?
Who is Dunjax?
I like it. 'Change from the zoo dog. I'm pushing for it.
Why?
I don't know. I love zoo dog, but I just zoo dog doesn't love me.
Gary, that's a fallacy. You know that.
I guess that's true. All right, let's scoot through this wolf. Okay, time is a shooting.
One second here. I'm going to start.